Wiki Circuitry, 7 p.m. Saturdays, 90.7 FM, Sin Radio.
Rubber Duckies!
Hey, welcome to Wiki Circuitry with me, Rob, and Tom over there. Hello. Thank you to, let's get trivial.
That was wonderful.
For us.
Aren't they lovely girls?
Very lovely. Mm. Yeah, like I said.
Moderately lovely.
What's this?
Moderately lovely.
Well, you know, there's lovely and then there's lovely. Yeah.
I don't know what you mean.
No, me neither. Go on. I was kind of hoping someone else did. Welcome to Wiki Circuitry. Mm-hmm. We're going to be taking you around the labyrinth that is Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start...
With slight detours into our...
Into our psyche.
To our debauched minds.
We're going to start...
fairly debauched this week as well. I should put that out there. Mainly Robin's. Mine's okay.
Well, what can you do? Yeah. We're going to start with a kazoo, our mystery point from last week.
Thank you to Alice.
Thanks, Alice. So let me start off by saying send in your suggestion for next week's mystery point.
Please do.
Send it in on 0427 767 767 or just send in and let us know how you're doing.
Either way.
Or jump online at sin.org.au and you can message in free.
Sure can.
If you have the internet. I'm on the phone to the internet right now.
Mm.
We're going to start with a kazoo. We're going to work our way to an incident of the Phoenix Lights. We'll tell you all about that later.
Mm.
We're going to get to 1997.
That's our time.
Our place is going to be Brazil this week.
Mm-hmm.
Our word, a very interesting word, Incubus.
Mm-hmm.
You may know the band. And our wacky celebrity for this week is going to be Michael Richards. Oh, dear. Yes, okay, I better stop with the noises.
Yeah, Michael Richards.
Michael Richards, which you all know as a
Kramer. From Seinfeld. Sorry, I was my voice is a bit raspy. Wasn't quite getting through there.
Awfully quiet.
Raspy.
Yes, it was, Tom. Now, last week we had a suggestion for a mystery point by a good mate, Alice.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much a good mate to you, but certainly a sister.
Mm.
Now, she suggested a kazoo, which, you know, that's that instrument that you put in your mouth and...
Aha! Well, that's where you're wrong, Robin. It's not an instrument, is it now? It's a voice manipulation device.
Yeah, but...
All right.
So is it...
All right.
Yeah, but a saxophone's only, you know, an exhaling breath.
Ah, no, but to use a kazoo, you actually have to, like, vibrate your voice box. That's
yeah,
the
no,
whole idea.
You're not blowing through it.
Yeah,
you have to hum.
Yeah, exactly. You have to actually...
Well, then can you call a didgeridoo a voice manipulation device because they make the noises of animals by going down the
instrument. But that's because they're vibrating their lips. The vibration comes from the voice box.
Yeah, but...
Am I right? Yeah?
No, but... this, moving away from the didgeridoo and back to our
kazoo. run away from your flat, Robin.
I'm going to run all the way to a jug band. Do you know what a jug band is, Tom?
I do, actually.
They're those crazy, they're almost like misfits. They've just picked up like washboards and you know, made a bass out of like a stick and a string and a kitchen sink.
They're all those like loony guys that work at offices and then come home on the weekends and like to think that they build things, so they start playing shit that they find around the house.
So what you're telling me is they're crazy people?
Crazy people. That's the yeah, that's right. Yep.
Only crazy people would be in jug bands. If you're in a jug band, don't lynch us.
Who's in a jug band?
Those guys in Geekyard who are coming up after us, I think they might be in a jug band just quietly.
It's pretty good, actually. It's kind of a progressive jug band. They weave a lot of like electronic elements into it as well.
But they still keep it analog.
Yeah.
With, you know, the jug being a jug.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to...
It's post-jug band.
I think do you reckon those Geekyard guys that have a few conspiracy theories up their sleeves?
I reckon they might. Or at least they'd know of some, whether they believe them or not. I'd like to think that they wouldn't because, you know, they're upstanding young guys. They got their heads in the right place, but...
I don't know, but there's a lot of people you'd think would have their heads in the right place, and they come out with this crazy conspiracy about mind control.
Oh, I know. Okay, now I'm expressing a very personal opinion here, but conspiracy theories are just beyond me. Like the way that people think that other people aren't anything like them at all, and that they assume that they're the worst kind of people, and they want to like hurt you and control you and everything. I'd be surprised if any person who's ever come up with a conspiracy theory has ever actually had any wrong done to them at all.
So you reckon that they're living a perfectly happy existence, but reckon that, in fact, things aren't all they're cracked up to be.
Looking for meaning where they're not, like, where there really isn't any. Like, I heard this one...
They're thinking that life is far too simple, so there's got to be something more to it kind of thing.
Something like that.
So, yeah.
I don't know, it ranges from just kind of like invented things, like this swine flu conspiracy I heard about.
What was that?
Well, okay, so they presented a bunch of this, you know, sure, you know, irrefutable evidence of the correlation between the swine flu coming out and how quickly the vaccine came out afterwards.
Mm.
And people thought, people decided that swine flu was actually a manufactured disease. Like
all the other
actually
diseases,
real.
Incidentally.
Exactly, exactly. Mm. And that the swine flu vaccine that they were giving people was just, was, you know, like some sort of crazy mind control drug that they give to everybody in the population. And then this select group of like five people who masterminded the whole scheme would then control the world.
No,
because that's exactly
Tom,
what everybody wants to do.
That's not it at all. Don't believe them. Sorry, it's just my flu shot playing up a bit. So there is a difference between, you know, your conspiracy theory and then just your misconception, you know.
That's true.
So there's that where someone's just come out with abstract craziness, and then there's things like, you know, UFO sightings.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're actually people seeing stuff and then just inventing a meaning for it. Whereas this, you know, it's the opposite. It's not seeing stuff and then inventing
yeah,
things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But there was quite a... Well, UFO sightings, I think, are probably the best way to present a misconception.
Mm.
And I think as we were doing our little research, as we do, Tom, we're researching kind of people. We came across an event that happened, an incident that happened called the Phoenix Lights, where what was it again, Tom? There was people who saw a giant flying V.
It was a giant guitar, flying V guitar. no, anyway, yeah, that's our incident for this week. The Phoenix Lights. We'll go into more depth after this.
It's called a hook. You want to know more about this giant flying guitar? Because you don't get it until you listen to our next song.
Damn straight.
Flaming Balls. a little song called Candy Shop.
I apologise for Robin just saying Flaming Balls.
I don't. And I said them, and I am also Robin. So,
sure.
Here we were, just innocently talking amongst ourselves, Tom. Then all of a sudden, whoa, UFO.
Dow Jones and Harry Smith. Oh, did you see the NASDAQ?
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's what we were talking about. That's innocent talk. Have you never heard innocent talk before?
No, sorry. I was actually secretly guilty. Yeah, but there we were, happily, innocently, guiltily talking away, and all of a sudden, lights! Woo! Lights everywhere! And, yeah, so this was an incident that happened in Phoenix.
In Arizona and Nevada. It stretched, this was a multiply occurring incident.
That is bizarre.
I know.
So, yeah, so these lights...
Well, some people say it was... it was actually two incidents, wasn't it, though, really?
Well, there was two incidences at the time. The first was that these people claimed to see... Now, this is thousands of people claiming that they saw this.
Including the governor of of Arizona at the time, whose name was Fife Symington III.
Good work on a name, though.
Thank you. Yeah,
well. That's much better than my name, Robin McIroncock.
Yeah, well,
no. Excuse me.
You sound silly.
I know. Symington, you little bastard.
Old Fifey.
Fifington. Yeah, so that was a big V of lights.
Flying V.
Flying V, like a big guitar, but less guitar and more just like a V shape.
More like freaky outer space thing.
And then there was a second event on the same night of a string of lights drifting slowly.
So there's something like that. We watched the video and they seemed to just kind of appear in a kind of... sequence. So it ended up being a small arc of lights.
So there was a number of explanations. None of them were, you know, really conclusive, except for the second one, which they said was a military training exercise.
Yeah,
using,
yeah. The second
flares.
One got yeah, yeah. The second one got lots and lots of publicity because the military actually took responsibility for it.
Mm-hmm.
They said, "Hey, this was our what was it? A warthog?
Yeah, A-10 warthog.
An A-10, whatever the hell that is, a flying warthog. I have no clue. But apparently, it drops some shiny things out of its hull, and that was what the people saw. But the other one, the flying V one, to this day remains kind of unexplained.
However, there was a copycat. Some 11 years later, in 2008, where someone deemed it a clever idea to attach flares to a series of weather balloons to recreate the incident of the Phoenix Lights.
Yeah, I think it must have been a little bit kind of amateurish, though, because it would have been fairly obvious. Because this, we've seen a picture of this flying V thing. I suggest you look it up. It doesn't look like anything that it would be in the sky. You know, like, just like little sort of sorcery shapes and lights blinking and stuff. I mean, they're meant to be in the sky. When I mean, we put things in the sky that have lights on them, right? It shouldn't be a surprise that you see lights flying around because we put them there. This giant, like, flying V thing, what the hell?
I think they would have been better off going with a flying V guitar and just attaching flares to them.
I think so.
Balloons and things.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that copycat happened in, what, 11 years after the original.
That's true, yeah.
So 2008, where does that put us? Back in...
97, then.
1997 was when this Phoenix Light incident happened.
That also happens to be our time.
Ooh. Our time for this week? Beautiful. Well, that was very neat and tidy.
Wasn't it just?
Splendid. Well, you know, there we were looking around in 1997, witnessing UFOs. Clinton was in the White House. I believe the Spice Girls were dominating the charts.
If you want to be my lover.
And I believe I
get a laugh out of Robin just by quoting Spice Girls lyrics.
They're just ridiculous.
Yeah, go on.
And I was in Queensland having a little holiday with my family.
Oh, wow.
You know, we went to all the theme parks and things like that. And we also went snorkeling. Yeah, have you ever been snorkeling, Tom?
Yes, I've been snorkeling many times, actually.
Well,
I wouldn't consider myself a snorkeler.
No.
It's not what it says on my Facebook profile.
Tom, interests. Snorkeling guru!
About 4 exclamation marks.
Yeah, and a 1.
Yes.
However, I just couldn't snorkel properly because my mum told me this absolutely horrible story about snorkeling. And let me just give you a heads up. If you're afraid of spiders like my sister, just go make a cup of coffee for a minute. Because this is a horrible story. My mum told me about this story. She was over at a friend's place, went for a swim in their pool, and she went, "Hey, look, snorkel. I'll just use that and swim around and look under the water and stuff while I'm swimming." And she used a snorkel. She was trying to breathe in and out. It was really hard for some reason. So she goes, forget this. Took it out and put it on the side of the pool. And she looked across. A massive huntsman crawled out of the snorkel. Isn't that just disgusting?
That's utterly revolting.
Oh, it's vile.
I'm sorry, Robin. I think I can one-up you here.
No way.
Yes. Now, this happened to a friend of my sister's. I forgot to check exactly how the story went, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
She was at her house. She has a pool. And she was just lying on, like, this old banana lounge. You know, one of the things they leave outside, you know. She was just lying back. She noticed this huntsman crawling up on her shoulder.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah, sorry, this isn't the end. This is not the end.
What do you mean that's not the end? That's disgusting.
Okay, so she was like, "How the hell am I going to get this huntsman off me? I know I'll jump into the water." So,
well, that seems logical. If you're near a pool, that'll get rid of the spider.
Yeah,
right.
I mean,
surely.
That should do it. Yeah, that should do it. Unfortunately, what happened was, as she got up and ran, the spider actually crawled up her neck.
No.
Yes. And when she jumped into the water, it looked for a place to... It didn't like the water, so it had to find somewhere to retreat. So it went into the nearest enclosed space it could find and curled up in her ear.
Oh, that's... Oh, God! That's disgusting! Oh, I'm going to be unwell. Just, you know, chilled out in her ear for a little while, whispering,
help me. It came out and it didn't bite her or anything, but... little
That's
hairs
vile.
In
there. Absolutely vile.
God.
Oh, dear.
Oh, good grief.
Well, at least, you know, a huntsman's not venomous.
Yeah,
like, you know, the horrible spiders of Sydney. Yeah, Sydney has funnel webs, apparently. You know, with all the warming, they're making their way down.
I doubt that.
Well, anyway.
If I was a funnel web, I wouldn't be moving my funnel all the way down to Victoria.
I know. Bugger that.
Plenty of prey up in Sydney.
I reckon. And, you know, those guys in Sydney deserve it. Sydney people, get them.
That was a little message for all the funnel webs out there.
That's it.
Any of you funnel webs listening?
Shout out to you funnel webs. However, I just think we should be grateful, Tom, that there's I don't know whether to be grateful or ungrateful that we don't have this particular spider.
No. I think it's more venomous than the funnel web.
It's 2007 Guinness World Records labelled it the most venomous spider in the world.
There you go.
And it
you can always trust Guinness World Records.
Of course you can. You can always trust Guinness. Forget the records.
from the company that brought you man with most bees on his face.
a bite from this spider that we're just about to name for you. Yeah. Other than being, you know, very painful to be bitten by, and it's usually fatal, it also has an interesting compound in its venom. What is it? Nitric oxide.
Yeah.
Which gives you an erection.
It does.
No, well, it gives males, well, I assume.
It gives,
you know.
It gives males, yeah. And an uncontrollable erection that doesn't go down for like hours and hours.
And it so can it's be, just like...
So on top of the excruciating pain
you have to
and possible
the
death
indignity
that you get from
having
this
a boner,
you just walk around with this raging pants.
But it's got such an innocent name because this particular spider is called the Brazilian wandering spider.
It is. It sounds kind of wistful, doesn't it?
It does. And then all of a sudden,
it's a bit lonely or something.
Boner.
Yeah.
It's like I'm sitting in high school and being asked to come to the front of the class and then spider bite. Oh, boner. Tom, you say that's never happened to you, but it's happened to everyone. You're just lying.
Yeah, it's true. I have been bitten by a
wandering
spider.
Boner, Tom. Yes. It's school. And you always get asked to the front of the class. However, that's not what we're talking about. What we're trying to get to is that spider is from Brazil.
It is. It's all over.
It's certainly been named a Brazilian wandering spider.
There is some evidence to say it's...
I am going to...
Yes, I believe there's some evidence to say it's from Brazil.
Well, I'm going to leave you all in Brazil anyway. The hell with you.
We have had some text coming in, though. We've got some suggestions for the mystery points.
Send yours in on 0427-767-767. Tom, what have we got?
We got door handles. That's from Jess, I believe.
Yeah, clever.
Also got... what else we got? We had door handles. There we were. The Dreamtime.
Ooh.
Yeah, Dreamtime's a good one. That's from Jess as well, actually.
Jess, you say?
Jess is the name that I just said.
You said Jess?
I did.
We must have said Jess, like Jess, like 18 times Jess.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, wow.
I at least said Jess that many times.
Jess suggested Dreamtime, was it?
Dreamtime. Also, Red Shoes, that was a Jess suggestion by Jess.
Was it? Jess suggested Red Shoes. Jess has Red Shoes.
It's not a mystery point, but apparently someone, Allegra... Message just in. I assume that's someone's name. I can't be sure. They signed it Allegra. I don't know if
it is a musical term, isn't it?
That's Allegro.
Allegro. Yeah, what was her suggestion? Or what was her comment?
Well, she said that she's actually seen aliens and that some took her brother from in front of her house.
Did you do anything about this?
Allegra might be a he. I don't know.
Allegra, did you help your brother at all?
Yeah, would you like to elaborate on this?
Yeah, please do.
Yeah. Also, yes, we did say erection on radio.
Erection, is that a mystery point for next week? Nah. I'll write it down anyway.
Nah. That was me writing. No, that was Robin.
Very good. Erection, it's pencil erection. Actually, it kind of looks like a penis. But anyway, what have you got to add about Brazil, Tom?
Well, they speak Portuguese in Brazil.
Do they?
Yeah.
Those shifty little buggers.
Well,
speaking Portuguese.
Yeah, they'll do that. I actually really like the sound of Portuguese. I've heard... I can never remember the order in which to put these, but I heard someone describe it as like a drunk Frenchman trying to speak Spanish with a German accent.
That's ludicrous.
It is. It's a really cool language, though. I quite like it.
I think there's a particular part of Portuguese that I like.
A particular part?
Okay, that was probably the wrong choice of words, wasn't it? I really like this part. Maybe I should just avoid this topic just for a little while. Oh, this is going to come back and bite me in the ass.
I don't even know what he's talking about.
No one does. Anyway, well, look, do you recall back, some years ago, Ford had a car called Pinto?
Oh, yeah, Pinto? The Ford Pinto. Come on.
You know, in Portuguese, Pinto means penis.
I was aware of that. But prior to when we did our research, I wasn't aware of that.
Yes, well, it's one of those nasty, unfortunate things. You think it's a nice name, but... Unfortunately not.
Yeah, it really is. Really is.
It kind of draws your attention to, like, a lot of the other cars have, like, you were telling me about Volvo,
yeah.
Tom. It's not nasty. It's not nasty. Latin, did you
say?
Yeah,
it's Latin. It's Latin for I roll.
Which I think is quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know?
I like it.
Car manufacturer. It's kind of clever.
Nice.
You know?
Yeah, I like it.
It's nice.
There are some other awful ones, though, like Pajero, which is Spanish for... Well, it's like colloquial Spanish for...
A wanker, isn't it?
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
And what about like just like real bugger ups in namings, like the Starion, the Mitsubishi Starion?
Yeah.
They claimed that it was
contraction of
the star of Orion.
Constellation.
Constellation. Not a consolation prize.
But there's a bit of an urban myth that it's an English, you know, the Japanese English.
Yeah.
Corruption of stallion.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But you know, there's other like real bugger ups like that. Like
true. It's not just confined to cars.
No, well, it's mostly cars.
No,
of
it
course.
Is. those car advertisers, they're good. Got their brains in the wrong place.
Little devils.
So do Reebok's advertisers, actually.
Yeah. So they try to create or name a brand of a pair of sneakers.
Hmm.
They tried to call them Incubus.
Women's sneakers. They tried to call them Incubus sneakers. Now, just before we get into our detail about Incubus, which is our word.
Ooh, word.
For this week. Without going into too much detail, an Incubus is actually... a demon who ravages women in their sleep.
Nasty.
So it's good for women's shoes, you know.
Of course. That's why they, you know,
need a good
plug on that one. And
you'll wake up and that, like, shoe will be doing things to your foot.
What's going on here?
What are you doing, Incubus?
Oh, dear.
Yes. Now, where were we?
I believe we were talking about Incubus.
Incubus, that was our word.
Yes, our word for this week. Incubus.
Now, as I mentioned earlier, it's a piece of medieval Christian demonology, although I think it's likely that it came from some kind of local folklore.
Yeah.
Because Christianity borrows a lot of stuff, you know, does that. That's a deal. I won't go into it today.
No, let's not.
But they're said to, these incubi?
Incubi?
Yeah. They're said to...
Flock of incubus? No, it's just one. They're lone rangers.
Yeah.
Lone wolves.
And what they do, lone these ranger? Lone rangers, is they ravish women in their sleep. Now, it's linked to actually I guess it's a psychological phenomenon.
It's called a syndrome.
Syndrome.
It's called an old hag syndrome.
Well, it's linked to old hag syndrome.
No, it's, yeah, so it's not. Yeah, sorry, Tom, why don't you?
Oh, well,
just making a mess of it.
I don't know if anybody's ever had this. I haven't had this. I have a few friends who claim to have had this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's called old hag syndrome. Mm-hmm. It's where you wake up and you feel this intense pressure on your chest.
And can't breathe.
Can't breathe.
You know,
can't
stand up or anything.
Sit up or anything. Anyway, so that's said to be one of the feelings associated when you're being ravished by an incubus. Of course, there is also usually a nighttime emission.
Oh, a nocturnal emission with me.
That's it. Associated with it, which is said to be the ravishing part, mm-hmm, as well as just not just that pressure part.
Well, you had a quite a good way of, you know, explaining little things like this. You know, it's something that's you know, seemingly inexplicable events even. Being equated to supernatural events. old hag, you know, it's an old hag sitting on your chest. It's not, you know, just you know, some of the condition that you have, you know, it's a medical condition, but at the time they had to pass it off as a supernatural old hag sitting on your chest, or, you know, instead of just having a wet dream, you're actually being wanked off by a demon. Which is a nasty way to put it.
Oh dear! Now I think there's a very good parody of this.
This kind of, you know, needing an explanation for these things you can't explain. Whereas lots of things that can be very easily explained are called miracles. Have you seen the episode of Seinfeld, Tom?
I haven't, but it sounds brilliant. Actually,
Festivus, and everything's a Festivus miracle.
Just these little mundane things, easily explainable, and they describe them as Festivus miracles.
It's beautiful. You can
the bus ran on time. It's a Festivus miracle.
Rubber duckies. You can find little snippets of that on popular video sharing websites such as YouTube.
Mm.
But
anyway, who was in Seinfeld?
Well,
that was Jerry Seinfeld.
Well, there was Jerry Seinfeld, and, you know, the characters. There was Elaine, and there was George. That was George Costanza. I'm not quite clear on his actual name. That was his character name. It was Cosmo Kramer.
Ah, yes.
That was played by, now, who was it?
Michael Ricardo.
That's Michael Richards to the rest of us. And he's our crazy celebrity for this week. Now, we left you just a moment ago with talking about Michael Richards, who you'd know as Kramer, Cosmo Kramer from Seinfeld. We picked him this week because he had a little incident...
That everybody heard about.
Everybody heard about in West Hollywood.
Had a comedy
where he was being heckled by some people in the crowd.
Mm.
And claims are, and footage is, that he yelled out and called them...
the
a-s, yeah. Oh. Which, excuse, you know, that's what he called them.
This has been a good show.
And he said he used that particular word because he was trying to defuse heckling by being more outrageous.
That clearly backfired.
And that's
it was obviously
very
the last resort, you know, of a panicked and not straight thinking man.
No, no. So highly inappropriate.
Yes, indeed.
As we can all understand. So
anyway, where do we go today?
We've worked away from the kazoo, Tom. All the way to the incident of Phoenix Lights, and to the time of 1997, over to Brazil.
Can't make a 1997 sound.
1997. No. Or you could be like, if you wanna be my lover. Although I think that was 96. Man, was that a year?
Was it ever? Then we're in Brazil. I can do a bossa nova. That was bossa nova.
That was lovely, Tom.
Yeah, thank you.
And then we talked about the. Incubus.
Incubus.
The word.
Nighttime ravishes.
And,
masculine equivalent of succubus. Forgot to mention that.
Yeah, yeah. So next week we'll be using a mystery word, event, I suppose you would call it, of the dream time.
No, that's not an event. That's a thing.
A thing?
Yeah. Thank you to Jess for that.
Yes.
Dream time. We're going to use that.
So tune in next week, or perhaps you've got a radio where it's automatically set in.
Yeah, whatever.
Just press the button. Mm. We've been Tom and Rob.
This is Wiki Circuitry.
Wiki Circuitry, 7 p.m. Saturdays, 90.7 FM, Sin Radio.
Robert J!